This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You ready for Valentine's Day, Keith?
Oh, you know it.
You better be at this point.
You know it.
Shopping's done.
Shopping's done.
Gifts are done.
Best Valentine ever.
Me.
No.
Yeah, how about you? You good to go?
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. I made the call. We talked about this the other day. I made the call. Yeah. I just got the flowers early. I said, I'm not going to
order them.
No.
I'm not going to bring them after work. That's too late. You're not going to be happy with that.
I picked it up on the way home yesterday. Got it in. Like, I'm the man, right?
Yeah, early flowers.
You're the man, yeah.
Early flowers.
Early flowers. Still alive. Yeah. They weren't, in my car all day. Didn't have to, delivery fee, no vase fee.
I swung by the grocery store.
Yeah.
I got some flowers in there.
They look good. They're in the house now. I did my job.
Yeah.
Case closed.
They're already dead, basically.
All set,
but
maybe.
Yeah.
But it's the thought that counts, Jones. That's what people say.
That's what my wife says.
Yeah.
That's what she says. I don't know if
she might not be thrilled with that.
That's what she says. I said this in the crossover there with Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, they're not good for much, but they are good for this. You take them Valentine's shopping.
Oh, yeah.
And then whatever
pick out whatever you want.
Whatever she doesn't like, I go, Lucas, pick that up.
Yeah.
Boom. It's a built-in, you're not happy with your Valentine's gift? That's on Lucas.
He's got a bad eye for this stuff.
Yell at your six-year-old.
He's learning about it, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, the kids also are good where it's like, are you going out on a date? Nope.
No, right.
You going out tonight? No, I am not.
Lots of talk. Courtney's got her big Valentine's Day surprise
and
going out.
Great. Oh, that's right. I'm sure she won't be disappointed wherever they go.
No. I mean, hopefully, for Santos' sake, it's not.
I know.
Davio's, which is fantastic.
Which
but
is
yeah,
great.
I mean, hopefully.
I would love to go
him.
There.
But yeah, no. The last time I went out on a Valentine's Day, I don't even know. Although that's
three
probably,
kids.
Probably a good thing, though.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know me. I'm a homebody.
Saves you some bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the
Where are we ordering the kids? Where are we ordering Valentine's pizza from, Kat?
That's a good point.
It's Pizza Friday. Pizza Friday.
Pizza Friday.
People love Pizza Friday. So, yeah, that's probably what we'll do. Haven't really planned that far ahead.
No.
Early Valentine's gift, though, from the Red Sox,
really
Alex Bregman.
Maybe the best Valentine's gift ever.
It does really change the way we talk about the Red Sox, though. And maybe too much. Maybe you think we've overreacted to it. You can jump in on it all day long. 617-779-7937. Your phone and your text number here on Jones and Keefe. Interact on Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and chat there. Always a healthy conversation going on Twitch. And watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Maybe you think we've overreacted to Bregman. We're talking about the Red Sox maybe winning a division.
World Series. Winning
the division, you're a contender and in the mix for a World Series. And I do think that's a fair way of talking about the Red Sox. They were, a 500 team a year ago, and they've made big additions to their rotation, a big addition to their lineup. Not a ton of subtractions off the team unless you count Tyler O'Neill. But that logjam issue that Ken Rosenthal was talking about off the top that we spent a lot of time on yesterday, I wonder how easily solved that is.
And I don't think it's much of a logjam, to be honest.
Really?
I think they need to figure out where they're playing Bregman. You and I think he should play third base. Ken Rosenthal also kind of agrees with us that their best defensive alignment would clearly be Bregman at third.
And I thought, just to jump in, I thought Rosenthal made a good point. You underscored this yesterday, too, and maybe you viewed it as more of a good thing. But he said the thing that makes the most sense, not just on the field,
yeah,
wins and losses, defense, alignment, all of that, but also for your prospects that are coming up to the major leagues, the thing that makes the most sense is playing Bregman at third.
No doubt.
So the answer is he probably plays there. I still think there's a bit of a logjam even with that.
So is the logjam... I think it's, is it just convincing Devers to, or convincing somebody that Devers should be the DH? Because once he's the DH, like, I don't consider sitting Yoshida like a real logjam.
But
like, it, oh, Yoshida's
but it's
out
a dead,
today.
What I mean is, I don't think it's a big loss that Yoshida's out
yeah,
of the lineup,
right.
But they are going to feel pressure to play him. And he's just a dead spot on the, if he's not in the lineup, he's a dead spot on yeah. the roster. What does he give you?
But that's,
so that's what I mean by
logjam.
That's
what happens. He's not good enough to deserve a spot to play every day. So he doesn't just, look like an everyday player.
He's just on the bench every day.
Pretty much.
That's what's best for the team, but that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Well, maybe that's where you flip him for something. Like, you got to sell low on him and you move on from him.
Then there's a logjam you got to get off the team. Exactly. I agree with
you. Yeah, okay. I guess I just don't view Yoshida as that. Whereas you're like, hey, you know, Christian Campbell, like, needs a place to play, but you have a $40 million second baseman right now. You're not going to budge. And you're not going to move Devers off of third. So where are the young guys going to play? Where are the young guys going to play? Well, if Bregman starts at third, you could start the year with Campbell. And if Campbell's not ready, you start the season with somebody else, one of those other names we mentioned, like Vaughn Grissom, as a placeholder, and then Campbell takes over. And then you're like, wow, well, there's a log. What about Marcelo Mayer? I don't know when he's going to be ready. He's also hurt a lot. And maybe between he and Trevor Story, that'll work itself out.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, they'll probably both be hurt. That's and then you'll have, like, Romy Gonzalez at short.
They're probably a perfect fit for one another.
Yeah, so, like, I think maybe it is just Yoshida. There's like, how terrified are they to put him in the outfield? Seems like very terrified. But would you rather have Devers play third base every once in a while, or would you rather have Yoshida play left field every once in a while? Like, if you really need to get him in the lineup, can't you hide him in left more than you can hide Devers at third? Like, if you're just looking for the better overall defense.
I think I'd rather have Devers at third, but I get what you're saying about hiding him at Fenway and left field.
Yeah.
I get that. And it's at least a decision.
But, I mean, I think now if you know that's what you're doing, and this might be the benefit also to not signing Bregman on, you know, March 30th, you wait. Now, yeah, you have a month that maybe you can find a spot for Yoshida. Maybe teams look around the league and be like, we'll take him. You know, DH isn't what it used to be. Look around the league. There's not a lot of DHs that are smacking 30 home runs and, you know, hitting 280. So you might be able to get somebody that's interested in Yoshida. Maybe you have to pay some of the money, whatever. You're no stranger to doing that. So maybe you have to move on from him. I don't think anybody's going to bat an eye if you have to do that.
So I was thinking about this today, and maybe it's a lofty comparison. The 03 Red Sox did not win the World Series, but they easily could have. They should have beat the Yankees in that ALCS. And petered away. If you're unfamiliar with it and you're younger, maybe you saw it in the comeback on Netflix. We talked about some of those episodes before. Something I don't really feel like they covered in those episodes was the full-on logjam they had between third and first base. I think this is more talent in 03 than they have now, but it was a similar type of situation. It was Shea Hillenbrand, Bill Miller, Kevin Millar, Jeremy Giambi and Ortiz.
Yeah.
And they had to figure out spots for all those guys. And eventually what they did was subtract a piece in Shea Hillenbrand.
Brutal.
Jeremy Giambi was no good. They took way too long to figure out what Ortiz was.
Sold low on Hillenbrand.
But they finally figured out what it was. BK Kim.
BK Kim was trash.
So, but like, is that instructive in any way, that trade? Could you get a high-level reliever for Yoshida? Or, like, do you just get rid of Yoshida to reduce the logjam? Like, I wonder if there's a lesson there. Not to say this year's team is the 03 Red Sox, and you have a future Hall of Famer and all-time great in David Ortiz rotting on the bench. But is that instructive in any way where that's how they got to approach this team? They tried to go into the year with that logjam, and by May, they were making trades and selling low.
But they also, like, in the case of Ortiz v. Giambi, like, Ortiz put himself, like, he won that job.
Yeah,
like, it was like, all right, that was pretty clear cut. Like, we're going to play the best guys. And I think also with Hillenbrand, they did think they were addressing a need, right? That was a team that, as great as they were, they didn't have Keith Falk. Like, that team needed a closer. They thought that Kim could do it, and so they traded away Shea Hillenbrand.
But isn't that similar to this?
Kind of.
They went into the year with a closer by committee.
Although
they didn't have a closer. They tried to shore it up.
But Hendricks and Chapman are a lot better than Brandon Lyon and Mike Timlin.
This is true.
Is that who it was, I think? I think Brandon Lyon got a bunch of those save chances.
Good question. Who were the 03 Red Sox?
Random baseball player.
No. Timlin is 100. Like, was it
Embry still?
Was that the original
Brandon
closer
Lyon
by committee?
It was.
That's what I'm saying.
I think
Scott Williamson?
No, I think they traded for him.
Embry. I think it was Brandon Lyon. Let's see who led the team in saves that year, shall we?
It was the other guy, Ramiro Mendoza.
You ready for who had saves that year?
Yes. Give it to me.
Byung-Young Kim came in and had 16 saves. That was the most on the team. Second, Brandon Lyon.
Nice. Good call, Keith. Great pull.
I deserve an extra of chocolate today.
He'll be random baseball player of the day today in the grab bag and then like a month from now in the grab bag. Yeah.
Chad Fox.
How did I forget about Chad
Fox?
Mike
Timlin had two.
Uh-huh.
And then the following guys had one save.
Embry.
Tim Wakefield.
Yep.
Casey Fossum.
Nice.
Alan Embry.
Yeah.
Jason Scheel?
You're telling me Ramiro Mendoza had no saves on that team?
Bronson Arroyo.
Yeah. Wow.
And Robert Person.
All right. Shame on me.
Bob Person. So, yeah, that was kind of a rough go. So, they had 36 saves as a team, and it was just like everybody
got in
on the action.
To your point, they had better guys this year in their closer by committee, but they're still going into the year with a logjam and a closer by committee, and maybe there's an easy solution.
Can you get rid
of the logjam and try to fix the bullpen problem?
Can you get a reliever for Yoshida?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I really don't know. You probably have to eat the whole contract, then maybe. Yeah. And even probably not. No, I mean, you're selling low, way low. This guy, Yoshida's not even as good as Hillenbrand. But to your point, you had to sell way low,
I guess,
on Shea Hillenbrand, who was coming off a year where he was an all-star, hit .293 with 18 home runs.
But I just think, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, if you ask the pitchers on the team, they're like, hey, would you guys rather Yoshida's bat in the lineup or, like, Bregman's glove at third? Like, what? Is that really a serious question?
No, but so to me, from a baseball standpoint, from a wins and losses, putting your best team on the field standpoint, right, it's easy to put Yoshida on the bench and just say, whatever, you're a bench player and you're a pinch hitter. But he has no positional value
which
you're going to put him into the game late.
Man.
You're going to pay the guy making that money and you're going to tell John Henry he just rots on the bench? Like that's, that, if you're purely just worried about wins and losses, sure. Since when has this team purely been worried about wins and losses and not their financial bottom line? And I think that's going to be a tough sell to ownership. And I bet Yoshida is going to shoehorn his way into the lineup way more than we're comfortable with if he's on this roster.
Yeah.
And that stinks.
Yeah, that is kind of tough. Although, you remember, it was funny last year, one of the times where Alex Cora got pretty contentious with the media was when people were asking him about Yoshida all the time. And he's like, Yoshida is our everyday DH. And it was then guys would come back from injury, like Tyler O'Neill, and he would have to DH, right? Like, they weren't ready to play in the field yet. And so Yoshida would sit. And then they'd be like, I thought Yoshida was your everyday DH. He's like, well, he is, but this guy has to rehab. And then, like, Devers would come back from, like, a sore shoulder, and he would DH that day. They're like, well, where's Yoshida? They're like, yeah, I'm telling you guys, he's the everyday DH, except anytime somebody needs the DH, we're going to take him out of the lineup.
So
just do that, but more.
So the way to get Yoshida into the lineup is play Bregman at second. And I don't like that. So the answer is you got to get Yoshida off the team.
Do you want to know what the sad truth is? Maybe not everybody realizes this.
Yeah.
Yoshida is getting paid $18.6 million this year.
That's, you know, that's not nothing.
Next year.
Uh-huh.
And the year after that. That's rough stuff.
Well, the way I heard that is there's only 3 years left on the deal. That's not so bad.
3 years left on the deal. I don't know why I thought there was two.
You're almost out from under it.
Yeah. They signed him to a 5-year, $90 million contract, and he slaps stingers to left field.
What? You have his, what were his final numbers last year?
Let's take a look at it. He was a...
It couldn't have been good.
What if I told you he was a guy who could hit .280?
Oh, good. Well, that's a lot higher than Bregman.
10 home runs.
Nice.
765 OPS.
Honestly, I mean,
it's down from a year before.
But 765 OPS, so I'm joking about the batting average with Bregman, but that's not that far off from Bregman last year.
He is 2 years removed from a sixth place Rookie of the Year finish.
I like the first half of his rookie year. I was into the Yoshida signing. I liked it. Then he dropped off a cliff in the second half, and he wasn't very good last year.
He played 108 games. So that's the problem, is if he is your backup DH, and if Devers becomes your everyday DH, like there's no games to be had. If Devers is healthy, you could play 150 games as the DH, right? Like, you don't really need to sit that much if you're just DHing.
One would think. So that's a thing I don't like about the Bregman deal. We spent most of yesterday talking about how much we like the signing and how much it increases the Red Sox margin for error and, you know, increases their ceiling and their opportunity to maybe win a world championship or at least contend for a World Series.
Real quick, the people like texting in that we're overhyping Bregman. I don't know if we're overhyping Bregman.
Honestly, we might be, but okay. We've been so thirsty for a quality player here that we probably are overhyping him.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. We're definitely thirsty. But it's not just Bregman. Like, we're now looking at the whole offseason. And to say, hey, this team won 81 games and they added Bregman and now they might win the division, that on itself would be crazy. But I think you can't just whistle past Garrett Crochet, Walker Buehler. So you're taking last year's staff, which pitched probably better than anticipated, and you're adding two guys better than what you had. That combined with Bregman is what makes me so optimistic.
Yeah, the whole thing. Because I was pretty underwhelmed by the offseason prior to that, despite liking the Crochet move. But Bregman, I feel like, I don't want to say puts it over the top, but it's why we're overreacting, if you feel that we're overreacting. And again, you can jump in, 617-779-7937. They got to figure out the Yoshida problem, the logjam they have. On this roster, similar to the 03 Red Sox, they had a need in the bullpen. They had a logjam between first and third and DH.
Where's Heim Bloom now?
And they figured
the
it
Cardinals?
Out. He's in St. Louis.
You think he'd take Yoshida?
Good question. Don't know.
He wanted him, right? So, wasn't he the one who signed him?
So are you saying for Arenado?
No, just take him.
You're saying you take him. You're the one who signed him.
You take him. You want him? Take him.
Give us a bullpen arm.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Maybe Arenado. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
One thing I like about Bregman, this didn't occur to me until I was reading a roundup here at ESPN. The author was Alden Gonzalez, one player to watch from every team in spring training. His player was Bregman, and I was reading through it. I'm like, well, duh.
Yeah.
He made an interesting point, though. Bregman has a real chance to add some juice back to Red Sox Yankees. And I think most of that happens on the field. It takes care of itself. If both teams are good and the games mean something, then the rivalry's there.
Mm-hmm.
If the teams aren't good or one team's good and the other one's down, which has happened far too often, then it doesn't mean anything. Yankees fans hate Bregman. They hate the Astros. They hate Bregman.
Good.
So there's a chance that you add a little extra juice to Red Sox Yankees, which, let's face it, that's a big part of people getting back into the Red Sox, people following and rooting. Part of it's rooting for the Red Sox, part of it's rooting against the Yankees.
Take it.
Him adding that little shot in the arm could be a nice added bonus as well. Not to say that's why you pay him $40 million a year.
No.
But that's a nice little added bonus.
That is an added bonus. And these teams have a chance to be the two best in the division, right?
Like, I think they are.
Baltimore's still good, but yeah, I think these two teams, and if they're playing meaningful games all year long, mix in a little bit of bad blood, like, all right. Good. They can use all the help we can get.
So we'll mix in your thoughts here. 617-779-7937. A day later, Alex Bregman, what do you think? How do the Red Sox solve the logjam between first, third, and DH? What do you do with Yoshida? And can Bregman bring back Red Sox-Yankees, the rivalry? Again, 617-779-7937. I want to get into lessons the Patriots can learn from the Red Sox and their approach to free agency. We'll get to that right after.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trending with Billy Laney.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Alex Cora on Alex Bregman.
Dustin Pedroia-esque is what he said.
All right, take that.
I can see that.
MVP of the league.
His MVP runner-up, Bregman.
Was. Yeah, he's right there.
I can see some of that in Bregman's game.
Yep.
That's fine. I think Bregman has more power for sure.
He does.
But I understand those parallels there. It's interesting, Keefe. We spent the whole entire commercial break just about discussing the Traitors episode last night. No spoilers or anything.
Right.
But as we were discussing that, text coming in about Traitors season 3 as well.
Were our mics on?
Yeah, seriously. What is
that's like when you're talking to your phone, then all of a sudden the ads pop up.
Well,
it's
your
like,
phone.
Oh, Bounce House.
You're an Apple guy. That doesn't happen with the droids. But yeah.
You're off the grid.
Yeah,
basically.
No, exactly. They don't follow what we're talking about whatsoever.
They know everything.
But yeah, your phones, they're certainly spying
they
on
know
you.
What
that's
I'm
true.
Thinking about. Yeah, so that's it. But yeah, we were talking about the Traitors. Another good episode last night. I think there's only a couple episodes left, right?
We're running out
of show.
We are indeed
nice
running
program.
Out. That's a good recommendation. I know we'll be giving out some show recommendations coming up.
Yeah.
In the Friday 4-pack, since we're out of football, mm-hmm. we'll take a variety of questions coming up about an hour from now. We'll also get into Keith's Keys to Four Nations coming up later on in the program. Should be a good one.
I know you're locked in,
so you don't want to miss it. 617-779-7937. I want to get into some lessons for the Patriots, what they can learn from the Red Sox and their approach to free agency. They're signing really a Bregman. But let's start it off with Coach up in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Coach.
Guys, you make great points with Bregman at third. But seriously, the biggest one is it improves the defense. The second point you made is that it allows a Christian Campbell or a Hamilton or a Grissom to maybe try to become a second baseman. I want to enhance your point with this. There was nothing wrong with J.D. Martinez and David Ortiz really hammering home their craft of being tremendous hitters. I think that's what would happen to Rafael Devers. I see him as a good hitter, but could be a great hitter if he was strictly the DH. And then the last question I have for you to ponder is, would you choose either a Willyar or Abreu or Roman Anthony in right field? Thank you, guys.
I mean, Roman Anthony for me, but if they feel like they want to give him a little bit of time, Willyar Abreu had a good season, so if you want to play Willyar Abreu, fine.
So, if you want to further out the logjam point, and I think, Anthony, there's at least a solution, but, yeah, what is the outfield right now? It's Duran, Rafaela, Abreu?
Yeah.
Right, so there's no... So Abreu is another guy who could go, and I think has value in a
trade. Abreu could go, but again, a texter's pointing this out too. Like, there's no chance everybody's healthy all year long. Like, you're going to have guys dropping like flies. I mean... Last year, Seydon Rafaela played 3 different positions in a week. You know, like you'll have him bouncing around. So he's a useful guy to keep on the team.
No, for sure. I mean, if
he can be the backup everywhere.
If you want to look at this glass half full instead of saying it's a logjam,
yeah.
Bregman can play second or third. Rafaela can play center or short. Like, and Cora's shown a propensity to be pretty creative when it comes to moving guys around the field. Duran has some flexibility in the outfield. So you know, if you want to play that game out, if injuries do happen, you have an ability to shift your lineup around and your defensive alignment. And even against righties and lefties, you can play some of that if players are open to it and Cora's open to it. The problem is players aren't often open to that.
But I think the good thing is right now, just looking at the roster, it appears to be deep enough where you don't have to force the three young guys. Like the three young guys, if they're playing at the major league level, have to be playing pretty well. If not, you're like, all right, you're not ready. Play a little bit longer at Worcester, and then we'll call you up when you are ready. And therefore, I don't really like. I don't think there's necessarily a log jam because there's nobody like you. You have to play Abreu or Raffaello or one of these guys ahead of a red hot Roman Anthony. No, you wouldn't have to. Like that guy then becomes a backup, and if it becomes a big time problem, then I guess you make a trade somewhere after the fact. But they should be good. I mean, you know, those young guys. As much as we want them to start pretty early, it's unlikely. It's going to be a couple of months, right? Even on the quick side.
Well, I don't think it has to be. Like, I disagree with this in the Twitch chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Patriots NFL 1 in there.
Nice.
Says Roman Anthony's 20. They're not starting him right away in the majors. Well, they probably won't. They're probably going to play service time manipulation and try to screw the player over like all these teams do. That's not unique to the Red Sox. And control him for an extra year. And that right, they probably won't do that. But if he comes in and he has a monster spring training,
yeah.
I would like to see him start in the major leagues.
He's the top prospect in baseball.
Yeah, it's him or Sasaki, well, but he's the top like real prospect in baseball. Yeah.
So we've seen those guys start the season before.
He should. Yeah. If he comes in and has a good spring, he should. They won't, I don't think, because they're going to play again, service time manipulation. But I tend to agree with Twitch that they won't do that, and he won't be here on the opening day roster, and it probably will be Duran, Raffaella, Abreu in the outfield. And by the way,
but I still look at it as like Duran to me is the only like lock him in every day outfielder.
Right. You don't need Raffaella in the lineup every day. No. You don't need Abreu in the lineup against, you don't need him in the lineup every
single day. Not every
day.
I mean, he might, you might want turn him into that.
You want him in against lefties. He's a righty bat for you, but yeah.
So yeah. Whereas the infield, a little different story, right? Like between Casas and Devers and Trevor Story when healthy and Bregman, like those guys are all everyday players. Like that's more like with the logjam thing you're talking about. Like you're not bumping any of those guys out of the lineup, but
I immediately fact check myself. He's a lefty bat.
I was gonna say Abreu.
You want him out against lefties. Exactly. So
that's when Ref Snyder comes in.
Yeah, that's right. Where are you playing Rob? Ref Snyder. Great point, Keith. So quick side note on Raffaella, I do prefer him in the outfield. And I agree with you, he's not a guy you need in every single day. I do prefer him in center field where he feels potentially elite versus shortstop where he's fine. So right. I do prefer him there. I think that's the better setup, but that's probably a problem, as you pointed out, that will solve itself because Trevor Story, I'd say right around, May 1st, will be out of the lineup.
Well, not only that, I mean, who knows by April 1st? Remember last year, it was like, all right, Lucas Giolito is going to be in the rotation. It's like, Lucas Giolito out for the season. You're like, what the hell? Like, before we even knew the guy, he was like out for the year.
That's a good point.
Even in spring, you're going to watch out for that.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here. We read a tweet from Mike Reese during the show yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
About the Patriots and thinking out loud and how they should approach free agency. And sometimes you have to overpay because your brand has taken a hit or your reputation has taken a hit, maybe is the better way to phrase it. What lessons do you think the Patriots should take, if any, about the Red Sox and the Bregman signing?
Well, I mean, look how much excitement and how much juice one signing got. And I know we talked about, they made a couple of trades and they made some other signings, but then there was a long layoff. And the season's right around the corner, and one signing for a guy who's 30, and it's a 3-year deal, and he's coming off not his best season, and everybody's fired up. We're talking about playoffs. We're talking about, like, how far can the team go? What should the lineup be? Everybody's all juiced up about baseball with one signing. And the Red Sox and Patriots have kind of mirrored each other in so many ways. We've gone over all the different ways from like the really high highs, the lows, the big spending, the no spending, like everything in between. And the Red Sox were kind of floundering there for a little bit. And then this offseason has changed the tide on that. So can the Patriots do that? They've gotten a shot in the arm just by changing the coaching staff. That can only get you so much though, right? Like we all like Mike Vrabel, but he's not playing. And so we like Drake May, but we liked Drake May last year, and he won one game essentially as a starter. So they need to add to the team, but it shows you how a couple of guys, and I know football and baseball a little different, but you add a couple of big signings in free agency, or you pick a big swing on a trade, people can get fired up again. And football actually allows you to go from worst to playoffs even easier than it does in baseball.
Do you think there's any chance, and I guess it would suppose that the Patriots don't do much in free agency if they kind of sat free agency out?
Yep.
Is there any chance the Red Sox pass the Patriots even temporarily in this city? Is that way overreacting to one signing?
So, I mean, football gives you such a advantage. Like, bad
football.
The
Patriots have been so bad. They've been a 4-win team 2 years straight.
But could you argue, for most people, bad football greater than good every other sport?
I mean, for me, certainly.
You know, for most people,
but I'm talking about the city. Yeah, I'm not just talking about me. No, I'm talking about the whole city.
So I think if it was another year of Gerard Mayo, honestly.
Good point.
I think maybe you'd be like, what are we doing? I think fans would be so pissed. Because right now they are kind of feeling pretty good, even though it's a 4-win team. But like, what kind of start do they get off to? And so that's where it would really be. So the Patriots' first 4 to 6 games will line up with the end of the baseball regular season. So if the Red Sox are neck and neck with the Yankees and good, and the Patriots get off to a really slow start, I think at that moment in time, if both of those things happen, then sure. People like a winner. And so if it looks like, hey, this team's going back to the playoffs versus, man, this team really didn't get much better.
I think it's going to be irrelevant because I think the Patriots are going to spend, maybe not wisely, but I think they're going to spend in free agency, whether that's T. Higgins or offensive linemen or adding to the, like, I don't know where they're going to spend. I do think they're going to spend to a degree. And again, how wisely we can debate. So I think that's mostly going to be irrelevant. And Mayo probably was a big factor there. If they brought him back,
that'd be tough.
A lot of people would be real pissed. But hopefully that's not a question that comes to the forefront, because I think it only would if Kraft does nothing in free agency. Real quick before we go back to the phones. More talent, more love, rather, for Abreu than I expected.
He had a good year.
He did. I saw this on the text line and on Twitch. He won the Gold Glove last year in right field.
Bregman won the Gold Glove at third, and they're going to move him to second.
Yeah, good point, so. Number one. Number two, he's a nice player, but yeah, I'd move him, and he can go win the Gold Glove for the Minnesota Twins or somebody if that means I can get Roman Anthony into the lineup every day if he's what people project him to be. Like, Abreu is a nice player, but winning Gold Gloves should not keep potentially the top prospect in baseball out of the lineup.
Like Yoshida the previous year, he finished sixth in the Rookie of the Year.
Nice.
He Willie Abreu hit .253. He had a .781 OPS, and he had 15 tater tots.
Yeah, that's a guy who, if Anthony needs time in AAA or you're manipulating service time, fine, he can play in the meantime.
Oh, he's a major league player, clearly.
100%. And I think he has value in a trade. And so
he's still, 25, 26, I think?
You don't need to give up on him now. Yeah. But that's a guy I'm moving to make room.
Yes.
617-779-7937. Zach's up in Maine. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're doing well. What's up? Happy Valentine's Day, Zach.
Yeah, you too. So I had a thought. Arizona's owner, the Diamondbacks owner, came out and said that Jordan Montgomery is never going to wear his jersey again. So could you maybe try to flip like Yoshida from Montgomery? Because you still have a lot of starting pitcher questions, because you got Giolito coming back from injury, Buehler's coming kind of back from injury, had a good postseason. But then you also have Crochet, who, you know, he's never pitched like a full 200 innings.
Yeah, so
you can never have enough depth, even if you throw in another prospect.
Let's play it out. Keith.
He's never going to play another game for us.
I didn't know
it was that bad. I mean, he was a mess last year. Late signing, and it was a bomb to put him in the bullpen.
We took way too many phone calls and spent way too much time talking about a scrubby starter like Jordan Montgomery. When it comes to the return for Yoshida, what would you want? He suggested starter. We've talked before about bullpen. Like, what would you want if you could even find a market for Yoshida?
I mean, them to pay for him, I guess. Not that it's my money or anything, but I guess that, like, free that up a little bit.
See, I would hope
most of the money.
I would hope John Henry would eat the contract to get a better player in return, whether that's a prospect or roster play. I would hope Henry would say, just get the problem out of our hair. He probably won't.
I mean, you got,
but that'd be my hope.
You got Vaughn Grissom for the Cy Young winner, Chris Sale. So I don't know how much you're getting for Yoshida. Great I wouldn't return. Prioritize anything. I'd say like, I get like prospect, I guess. Cause I don't really need another. I mean, the only other real like major leaguer I think you probably need is bullpen, right? Probably a bullpen arm, but I don't think that's like a one for one. Like you mentioned the 03 Hillenbrand trade. No, it's not like that.
I still think you could do both, and they're never going to do this because they've already paid him, but like Bayo probably belongs in the bullpen. So you can beef up your rotation and stick Bayo in the bullpen, and now you have a high leverage live arm late in the game. Like I think you could kill two birds with one stone, but again, the contract gets in the way there because they paid him and they're not going to pay him as a reliever to go sit out there and pitch the eighth inning.
They probably do need a catcher actually too. Don't they need like a backup? Connor Wong's going to play a lot, but I don't even know who like the other guys are. They could probably use a guy.
Good question.
It's Blake Sable and Carlos.
Blake Swihart's back?
Navarez.
Oh, I like Blake Swihart.
Yeah, I know you do.
I was a Swihart over Vasquez guy.
Give me Vasquez.
Yeah, I was very bad. Another in a long line of bad takes.
As soon as they got Swihart, like, shagging flies in the outfield, you're like, that's not a good sign.
It's going poorly. They got him hurt. They got him hurt running into the monster.
I know.
617.
Huge ball. I mean, the thing's about enormous. Yeah. No give on it.
How could you possibly see it coming? 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Red Sox and the Patriots. What lessons can the Patriots take from the Bregman signing, if any? We'll also get to NBA All-Star Weekend. Woo! You excited, Keith? It's here.
It's tonight.
Or
huh?
It's a time to scrap the whole thing altogether. We'll get to it next. We got NBA All-Star Weekend, Keith.
Hell yeah. Always coincides with Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
It's always right around there.
Love is in the air.
Sure is. So are these basketball players as they throw down monster jams. Excited for that. All the action. There's going to be a lot of different festivities.
Yeah.
As you know, there's the Rising Stars. Our guy J.D. Davidson from the Maine Celtics will be taking part in that.
Apparently is on one of the rosters. That's amazing.
Yep.
I didn't realize
he must be tearing it up. Oh, he actually is tearing it up. Check out those numbers.
I didn't realize he qualified.
Check out those
numbers.
As
a team G leaguer out there.
That's right. He and Mac McGlung, who's trying to go for a rare Chief Pete tomorrow night in the dunk contest.
Very rare. So let's start with the All-Star format this year. They are doing, and it makes you wonder, as you said yesterday, Keith, if it's just time to scrap the thing altogether.
Once you start messing with it like this, you know that the next step is pull the plug.
Because the NHL All-Star Game has been dumb for a long time.
Yes.
The Pro Bowl we knew was dumb, but they somehow made it worse by getting rid of the game. So that, to me, is the cautionary tale. But here's what you have going on. You have, for the All-Star format, the actual game.
Yeah.
You have four teams. Huh? Rising Stars and or team of G League All-Stars.
Okay.
Playing Shaq's OGs.
Who? The Penny and D. Scott and Nick Anderson?
No. That's LeBron, Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, James Harden, and Jaylen Brown. So at least Tatum and Jaylen are on the same team.
All right.
You have Chuck's Global All-Stars.
That'd be Jeff Hornacek, Andrew Lang.
No. That's Jokic, Trae Young, SGA, Wembanyama, Siakam, Şengün, and Towns.
Oh, so they are doing like U.S. versus the world?
Then you have Kenny's Young Stars, Keith.
Oh, I forgot there's four teams. Okay.
Ant Brunson, Triple J, Cade Cunningham, Darius Garland, your guy.
Yep.
Should be Peyton Pritchard.
All-star. He's an all-star.
Tyler Hero, Evan Mobley, and J-Dub, Jalen Williams.
Okay.
So those are your teams. The format, game one, Kenny's Young Stars versus Chuck's Global Stars.
Let me stop you right there. Is it a real game?
Yes.
But they at least play a real game because you don't know. You got to ask the question.
Well,
is it actually like 5-on-5? And is it?
It's 5-on-5. I'm guessing they're playing.
Twos and threes?
Yeah. I think so.
Because remember they added that other, like, the weird scoring at the end a couple years ago?
Yeah, what was the name of that rule where you, like...
It's named after a guy.
You play to a certain point, and then you play, like, another...
Yeah.
First to 10 extra points, something like that.
Yeah.
Game two is Shaq's OGs
The Elam?
That is what it was called.
Yeah.
The Elam ending?
Yeah.
Shaq's OGs versus Candace's Rising Stars.
It shouldn't be this difficult.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying.
It's the All-Star game.
The fact that we're talking about it and no one can keep track of what the hell we're talking about means you're onto something stupid.
Yep, I would knock it off right now.
Let me add this on top of it.
East versus West.
Same. Let me add this on top of it. For the three-point contest, you have Lillard, Hero, Brunson, Cunningham, Garland, Heald, Cam Johnson, and Norman Powell.
Well, you got like five All-Stars.
It should be eight All-Stars. It should be all All-Stars, although Craig Hodges, I guess you can throw that in my face.
Craig Hodges would tell you he three chiefed.
It should be all All-Stars is what it should be. And then you have the slam dunk contest.
Here we go. Finally, some big names.
Mac McClung looking to Chief Pete.
Yep.
He might. Which actually, I guess you don't want to do nowadays. The Chief Pete failed and blew up.
Well, no, you want to. You want to be like, I did something that Mahomes couldn't even do.
Well, if the Chiefs cheap-heated, they won one and then lost the third one.
Yeah, no, that's true. You don't want to do that.
You don't want a three-chief.
So Pat Riley is actually rooting for the Mac McClung three-piece.
Yeah,
he can make a buttload
of money off of
it. So, the dunk contest is...
Mac McClung, Matas Buzelis,
sure.
Stephon Castle, who I actually thought looked pretty good against the Celtics tonight, unlike Wemby.
Yep, I'll root for him.
And Andre Jackson of the Milwaukee Bucks.
I don't want that.
So what do we do with All-Star Weekend, Keith? The format stinks. The field for, I think, three-point and the slam dunk are terrible. Is it time to just scrap the thing altogether?
So unfortunately, I think it is time to get rid of the dunk contest. And that pains me to say it. I'm sure people have been saying that for 10 years. I've always been of the mind, like, all right, like, you might find something cool, something new. But the real problem is you don't have stars doing it. This is the NBA All-Star Weekend, and you have G League guys in the dunk contest. Like, that's not what this is. You know, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant did the slam dunk contest. Now you have Mac McGlung trying to, like, defend his crown. Like, they've already screwed it up so much. I think they need to get rid of it. Now, I'm sure more people watch it than we actually think. And if, you know, TNT or whatever that has it, you're getting way more eyeballs on it on Saturday than playing, like, you know, another movie or whatever, like another MCU movie or something. Right. So they'll take it. They're starting on the festivity. I think the dunk contest you need to get rid of. The three-point contest you keep. That's great. That's fun. Whatever. It is what it is. Best shooter, and it's very simple. I think the game you can still play. So football is different. Football had to figure out, like, nobody's going. We can't go, like, half-speed football.
Okay, but
like,
that's what they're doing in the basketball game. They're going half-speed.
You think even
defensively they're going half-speed.
Well, but they've been doing that for years, and then I feel like there's always three guys that go for it. Remember a couple of years ago, it was like Tatum and Mitchell going for the MVP. Yeah. But then usually by the end of the game, and maybe this is my own naivete, I feel like the final 5 minutes, they actually kind of play a little bit. You don't think so?
A little. I mean, emphasis on a little bit.
Yeah.
More than the first three and a half quarters.
I guess you'll never, this is the classic, you won't get the toothpaste back in the tube type of thing. Because it's not like they were, like, slapping the floor and playing defense in, like, the 80s and 90s, but there was a little bit more intensity, I guess. Like, a little bit more, especially in the 80s.
I think we overrate 80s basketball in general, but that's something that's true.
But
80s and 90s, there's a little more effort.
And this is probably because, like, 80s and 90s, there's real rivalries. There's real bad blood. You kept the conferences separate. You had the Celtics guys and the Lakers guys, well, and then whoever else trickled
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Whereas now they're all best buds. They're all mixed
East and West.
Teams.
It's not Shaq's OGs and Kenny's Young Rising Stars and Chuck's Global Stars. And why does Candace Parker have a team again of G Leaguers? I don't even get it.
East versus West.
So, like, right.
Or are we just old? Like, do kids like this stuff?
No.
I don't even think, like, they can't.
The cautionary tale is the Pro Bowl, though, because they did scrap the Pro Bowl, and now we have the stupid trivia and quarterbacks trying to throw things through hoops, and, like, that's even worse than the dumb Pro Bowl game.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you do instead.
Maybe you do shorten the game where you're like, all right, rather than guys, like, just jogging up and down.
Do you still like King of the Court? Like, is that too stupid? Like, just do, like, King of the Court.
Like, winner stays?
Yeah, or play one-on-one.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Like, they've sort of stolen a couple of ideas from the NHL, which is already a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Like, the NBA shouldn't be doing that. When they did, like, the players' draft, like, captain's picks.
Yep.
And then they're now doing, like, break it up. So they're not doing, like, division by division, but they are doing, like, multiple teams and, like, trying to create, like, a little bit of a tournament. Like, they probably felt like, all right, we need to freshen it up somehow. But the problem is, like, not all new ideas are good ideas.
No, like, the skills challenge in theory seems okay, and then you watch it, and you're like, this is a waste
of
time.
Yeah, why the hell did I do this?
So, yeah, I don't know how to fix it. The
three-point shootout's, like, the only thing that's, like, keep it.
Yeah, but then Darius Garland. Like, I don't even like the
All-Star.
I don't even like the field.
He's an All-Star. Okay, you can't pile on him.
I mean, I will, but you can lay it should be just All-Stars unless Craig Hodges wants to unretire.
No, but the dunk contest should be, like, at the beginning of the season, you got to look around. There's probably, like, 25 guys on a list that are worth a damn. Ask those guys. If four of them say yes, you do it. And if none of them say yes, then you don't.
You're like, we're not doing it this year.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. Be like, it's John Morant and Jaylen Brown.
It's John Morant's fault. We're not doing it this year.
Well, it's LeBron's fault.
Yeah, true.
I blame LeBron for all this.
So, you know,
he never did the dunk contest. So all these other guys since are like, I don't need to do it. LeBron never did it.
I think that's totally fair. So here's my solution for fixing the dunk contest if you really want it.
11-foot rims.
No. you write into everybody's contract. You have to do, if we ask you, you have to do it once.
Once.
You have to do it every time we ask you.
No, right.
But
right.
You write it into their rookie deals. All the veterans are exempt. I don't even know how you jam this through with the Players Association. You got to give them something back.
Yeah.
But it's all rookies. Like, all the veterans are like, if I don't have to do it, sure, we'll put it on the backs of the rookies.
Yeah,
give
us starting now.
Give our Players Association something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you
That's
are
probably the best bet.
You're compelled to do it once. You have to do it no matter what you say. You have to do it one time. It's in your contract. That's my solution to fix the dunk contest. I don't even know that completely fixes the thing, but at least guarantees you some star power. So that would be my solution. I don't know how realistic that is, getting the players on board with it. But maybe that would fix it. Is it time to scrap the whole thing altogether? Or are you excited about it? You let us know. 617-779-7937. We gave you some thoughts on the Patriots and free agency earlier. I want to get to the quarterback carousel in the NFL, which is maybe a little more interesting than I was giving it credit for. Aaron Rodgers, we've talked about. Trevor Lawrence is a name that came up late in the show yesterday. Cousins, Sam Darnold, Matt Stafford, maybe out there and available.
What?
Let's get to the quarterback carousel this offseason with all your phone calls next.
Ah, Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.